Well, we're going to talk today again about the resurrection. You said, well, Pastor, we've had at least one or two sermons already on the resurrection. There's so much there. And I'm just excited to be able to, with God's help and your prayers, to deliver this message to you about the resurrection. Because I believe that the most important event in biblical history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even more than the crucifixion. I know we like to talk about Christ's death, and it is powerful. Our sins are forgiven and covered, and we are blessed that he died for us and in our place. But I believe that there's something even more powerful, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection life that he has called us to lead and to live. A life filled with power, of peace and joy, and many, many other fruits of the Spirit. So that's what we're going to talk about today, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And the message, what I would really in praying that you would receive today, is that the resurrection power is divine life. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember that divine life lives in you through the Holy Spirit. That the resurrection power is divine life. That the life that God put in Jesus after he had died, and that life that God by his power raised Jesus from the dead, by that same power, God has placed his Spirit in you and in me. And it is a power that is needed in this world. It's not just, oh, I've got resurrection power in me. The key is that it is spread abroad. And we go from glory to glory. We just sang that song, didn't we? Neat little song, beautiful song. Because God in us and working in us, we go from glory to glory. It's like going from the first grade to the second grade to the third grade, all the way up. We go from glory to glory. Because not of us, but he who lives in us, who is greater than us and greater than anything. And that is God Almighty. That is Jesus Christ himself, the living Christ, who once was dead and now alive. That same life that God infused in him, that the Father infused and put in his dead body. And he rose again from the dead in power and in might. That same power and that same strength and might is available to us. And God has called us and blessed us to go from glory to glory, his honor, his beauty, his love, his joy be shed abroad in our hearts to others. It's not for us to just say, oh, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. And that's good to say that. But that joy, God wants us to share with others, that love, that peace, and all the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about resurrection life, not just something to be studied or preached about. Hopefully after this sermon, we'll live more that way. Resurrection power is divine life. I want you to remember that too. I have some key words, divine life. So I'm going to be talking about divine life. It's not just the love of God. It's not just the peace of God. All those things are important. But it's analogous to life, and it's divine. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, you're saying that I'm divine. I'm not saying that you're divine. I'm saying that divine, divinity, lives in you. That's why I entitled this message, Resurrection Power is Divine Life. That power is not just like electricity. It is a life, and it is divine, and it is God who lives in us. That's almost unimaginable, that God would live in us. We need to do more than imagine it. We need to believe it. We need to walk in it. And I want us to turn to a few scriptures here. First Corinthians, seeing the importance of it, that divine life, in chapter 15. And I want to begin in verse 17. And it says, and if Paul wrote this, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. That's why I think it is the most important event in biblical history, in human history. Because if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's not just enough that he died. See, God raised him up so he could raise us up. And we could go from glory, to one level of glory to the next. And if Christ has not been raised, some people don't believe that. Some people don't believe in the power of God. They think it's just some superstition, some religion. It's more than religion. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins, even though Jesus died for your sins. If Jesus was not raised, if Jesus is not who he said he was, if he did not do what he promised to do, then our faith is futile. It's in vain. You're not saved. But now he's raised from the dead. If Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep. Isn't that wonderful to be able to look at death? We're all going to die. To realize it's just sleep. And that as painful as it is to leave loved ones and so forth, God's healing power through the gospel gives us hope that we will rise again and that it's a beautiful thing to be asleep in the Lord and to be raised again. Verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep, Satan has been defeated. Those who have fallen asleep, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men, all women. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. He says that emphatically, that we can believe that. We can take it to the bank. No, we can take it to heaven. That all the promises of God are true. And if he kept the first promise, that is, with his sons, life and death and resurrection, then he will not only bring Jesus, he's already brought Jesus up, he will bring us up as well as he brought Jesus from the dead. And all the promises of God are true. And if he crucified his own son, allowed him to be crucified by the Romans, will he not more so bless us with every spiritual blessing? If he went that far with his son, if he gave his son, will he not also give us eternal life? That's a double promise based upon what he's done in the past. You can look at, they say, his resume and see that he's faithful. Two, even beyond the life of his own son. See, it wasn't the Romans who killed Jesus. Oh, they were the executioners. But what is his father had ordained, who looked down through the ages and saw us and wanted us to be a part of his family, to be there with Jesus forever and ever. And if he did that with Jesus, don't you think he'll do that for you and I? That he'll raise us up as well? That's why I said this is the most important promise in all of Scripture. Verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits, that's the first fruits. Here we are in spring, and the trees are budding, the plants are putting out their seedlings, and we're eating the fruit and all of that. That's a wonderful thing. If God did that, but if Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, the first ones, there are more to follow. Verse 21, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ, even more powerfully so in Christ, all will be made alive. I know some of us have lost loved ones in the recent past days and weeks. They are not at their end. They have fallen asleep. And through faith, God's going to raise them up. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Isn't that wonderful? How will they be made alive? But each one in their own turn. Christ the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father. After he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies, even death, even Satan and his demons, that he put them under his feet. We have a wonderful future, but we also have a wonderful present now. I want us to understand that as well. That right now, God infuses us with the same power he infused his son and raised him from the dead. He can infuse, and he does through faith, infuse us with that same power. Resurrection power is divine life. God's divine life is in those who believe in him. And therefore, we are empowered by the life of God. Resurrection power living is divine life. I'm doing a little play on words. Maybe you catch it, maybe you don't. You say, well, Pastor, your jokes are insane. They're kind of corny anyway. I get that. But resurrection power is divine life. It's divine. It is life. It is power. It is vine life. Let me put it even shorter, and maybe you'll see where I'm coming from. The resurrection is vine life. You say, what? Vine life. It's divine life. You want to see divine life? Come with me. I want us to go over a few pages to the Gospel of John. And give me a moment to turn there and find my space there. Jesus made a powerful statement. And in fact, for time's sake, I see my time's running away with me. Jesus said this to his disciples in the Gospel of John. Again, I'm going to paraphrase for time's sake. He said, I am divine. Now, with a little slip of tongue, maybe you catch it. Jesus said, I am divine. Now, that can mean two things. He primarily meant, I believe, that he was the vine. And he said, you are the branches. I have here before me, I have a vine. And this vine happens to be a grapevine. Put it on that side of my big head. A grapevine. In the Gospel of John, he said, I am the vine. And you, speaking to all of us, are the branches. He's divine. And he is divine. Amen? He is God. And he is the vine. This part of this vine is here. And it is infused with life. If you were to break this vine open, you will see juices would flow out of it. And there are juices that produce these luscious, sumptuous grapes. I'm a little thirsty right now, and I'd love to bite down on these grapes if they were for real. Gotcha. You're going to ask me for some after services. I'm not going to give you that. I'm going to be selfish now. How could I be selfish after giving a sermon? But Jesus said, I am this vine. And it is vine life because it is producing life. These grapes, these artificial grapes, are connected to the vine. They are the fruit of the vine. In the same way, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. We are branches. And it is that vine life, that divine life that flows through you and flows through me to others. And the other are able to enjoy grapes, are able to enjoy the peace of your fruit, the joy of your fruit. That Jesus said, what did he say? I am the vine. I'm this part. You are the branches. He who abides in me will bear much fruit. That's why I said resurrection life is divine life. It is the life of the vine in the branch, in us as branches. You get it? You understand? You are empowered by vine life. Jesus has come to live each and every believer and to infuse us with his life, just as the juice of, if this were a real plant, was a real vine, there'd be all kinds of juices flowing through here, making grapes, grape juice. We are to be a fragrant vine, giving fruit to all others. But the fruit of the Spirit, we are told, is love. Oh, that's the sweetest. Oh, that is the most sumptuous fruit of all. The fruit of the Spirit is also joy. This comes from not us. It comes from what kind of life? What kind of life? Vine life. Divine life. The vine and divine life in us. And there are people who are hungry and thirsty. And they want that life. They want peace and joy. They want love instead of hate. They want to walk in that joy they see in you. See, he also said, you are the light of the world. I've got lights on here. And there's a power source that runs outside to some generator, and it's generating light into my house and electricity. And it's a blessing. We are the light of the world. We have divine power of life and light to share with everyone. That's a wonderful thing. And just the fact you say, well, you know, I'm going to keep some of this. I'm going to can it. I'm going to put it, you know, in the closet. No, he wants us to spread it. He wants us to share it. For it is more blessed, the scripture says, to give than to receive. Even if it's just a flower, even if it's not real, this vine and this branch, we get the point. That he is the vine, and we're in him, and his life is in us, and we are called to share this life with everyone, our family members, to share this light. We are the light of the world. It's wonderful to know that our living is not in vain. I'm reminded of a song. I'm reminded of that song says, then my living shall not be in vain. Why? Because you've got divine life. You've got the vine. You've got the light. Let's live it, my brothers and sisters. Let us share it first with our family members, our neighbors, that they will be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. They're able to taste and see that God is good. It's one thing to tell people about the Lord. It's another thing for them to experience it in our lives. And the main thing we're focused on, we want that divine life of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask that the words of this message would not fall on deaf ears or sore hands or sore feet where we do nothing. You've given us this divine life, this vine life to share with others. Help us to do that, Father. Help us not to just have our minds on ourselves, but on others. And let us be something that arouses thirst and hunger in others, that they want not just part of that, they want their lives to be that way. Let us do that, Lord, through the power of the divine life of the Holy Spirit that you've given us. And we ask this in Jesus' name, that we be a blessing to many others. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Yes, we need Jesus. Give me Jesus. We're going to eat and we're going to drink here. We're going to eat of the body of Christ. You say, what, are you going to become a cannibal or something? No. No. But I need him. I need him more than I need bread. I need him more than I need wine or drink. And that's why the song, Give Me Jesus, because there's a hunger and there's a thirst in every one of us. And we can try to fill it with, you know, sex, money, cars, homes, and it won't do it. As I've said for many years, that God created us with a God-shaped vacuum in us, and nothing can do it. Nothing can fill it. Even Mick Jagger had the nerve to sing, I can't get, he says, I'm riding in my car, I can't get no satisfaction. He's telling the truth. Because there's no satisfaction in anything else except Jesus. That's why the song said, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Because he's everything. He is divine life. He is the resurrection and the power and the life. John, I like the way John composed the Gospel of John. And in chapter 6 and verse 25, John 6, 35 it is, Jesus said this. He declared, I am the bread of life. How many of us like eating? How many of us sometimes have a little bit too much? We like eating. We like to fill ourselves with food. It's not necessarily a sin unless we go too far. But then Jesus tells us, I am the bread of life. What you really are hungering for is me. I am your bread. Now, the Pharisees said, well, Lord, give us some of that bread and we won't be hungry no more. Well, no, that's not it. That's not it. He is it. They wanted somebody to give them bread, but they had not come to believe that he was the bread. What about me? What about you? Have you come to see that Jesus is bread? And it's interesting the way John writes, as I said, he's constantly writing and using eating and bread and drink and water. Living water, et cetera, et cetera. He says, I am the bread of life, Jesus says. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. This is a tremendous, how can I put it, explanation of what true believing is. Sometimes we talk to people and we ask them, do you believe? And they say, oh, yeah, I believe that Jesus lived. I believe that, you know, tomorrow the sun will rise. But they also believe that Vladimir Putin is the leader of Russia. That doesn't change anything. Believing a fact does not save you. John makes it clear here that believing is eating and drinking and receiving a person. That I believe in Jesus Christ, that he is my soul's soul satisfaction. That he is the strength of my life. He is my power. But see, you have to believe that he will satisfy all your thirst and all your hunger. That is faith. In receiving who he is, not just technically, but that he is more than enough, as one psalm says, that he is your every desire, that he is your ever need, and you believe that. He says here, and will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. He's not talking about a physical thing. They're analogous to some deep soul truths about us and our needs. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. They knew the fact that Jesus was the son of David, who's the son of Jesse. They had all the, heritages down. They knew who he was. But they did not believe him. They had other thirsts and other hungers. They did not want satisfaction that Jesus brought. What about you? What about me? Is Jesus more than enough for you? Does he satisfy every thirst, every hunger? Sooner or later, you will find out that he was, but you walked on by. Now, I don't believe all that stuff. One day you will find it to be true, painfully true. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but it's true that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the vine. He is divine life. And if you want eternal life, you have to believe that he is. And that believing that he is means that you are looking to him to satisfy everything. That there's nothing you want more than Jesus. That you too sing, "Give me Jesus." Your heart sings it. Your life shows it. And then you will be fulfilled. Not that you won't have problems. Not that you won't have trials and difficulties. But the power of his resurrection is true. And that it is the way he calls us to live. Think about it. Pray about it. Ask God to give you that hunger and that thirst for Jesus. And you'll never, never, never be hungry nor thirst again. The resurrection power is divine life. Never forget that. Let's close with this song. And Father, before we close completely, please bless this bread. This is your body that just as we are satisfied with spiritual bread, let us, a physical bread, let us be satisfied with your bread, your body. So bless us in that way, Lord. And let us examine ourselves. What are we hungry for? What's the source of our dissatisfaction? That itch that we can't quite reach or satisfy. Show us, Lord, and satisfy us with your body. Father, we ask you to bless this wine that we experience your forgiveness, your cleansing. How great is your love, Lord? Let us experience it and let us share the good news. Family and friends, that they can see that we are satisfied and satisfied in you, that they will wonder why your life is different, why our lives are different. Use us, Lord, use us. And let us be an example to family and friends and neighbors and everybody. So bless this bread and bless this wine, Lord, and let us experience the satisfaction, that deep, deep joy of you in our soul. And we ask it in Jesus' name, for we know indeed that he is more than enough for us. Amen. So let's play the song, More Than Enough.
Jehovah. love.